Joining us on the line, Shanda Turon, matrimonial attorney, and Paula Quincy, a relationship expert. Good morning and happy Saturday to you both.
Happy Saturday.
Good morning.
So let me start off with you, Paula, before we get into the legal ins and outs of when you're allowed to play away from home. How common is this, though, that couples, people in marriages, people in long-standing, committed, intimate relationships find a common ground where they decide that they are going to tolerate extramarital activity?
So it's not as common as people having affairs in terms of, if you want to talk about polygamy or polyamorous relationships. It's still a fairly new concept, or not so much spoken about. So yes, there are people that do it, but it's not as common knowledge as people having an affair, so to speak.
And with it not being as common as just a normal garden variety affair, which I'm told provides the excitement that so many marriages are missing, when is it a healthy thing? Because, like I said, this is not anything new between the celebrity couple Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. How can it be a positive aspect of a relationship, if at all?
Look, having an open relationship is very different to having an affair. You know, having an affair is you're sneaking around behind your partner's back. Your partner is unaware that you're involved with someone else. Being in an open relationship, there are a ground rule, so to speak. There is openness, there is transparency. You're fully aware of what each other is up to, and you've had the discussion in terms of the do's and don'ts as far as being involved with someone else or bringing someone else into the relationship space is concerned.
And have you yourself, in your years of relationship work, how often have you actually come across something like this?
So in all my years of practice, I've only had two couples or two clients, so to speak, that have come to me that have been in a situation like this.
Well, we'll get to the your mental strain that this puts on a relationship with you in a moment or so, Paula. But Shanda, I'll bring you in as the divorce attorney here. I'm sure you've had many cases where extramarital affairs have led to an irretrievable breakdown in a marriage. But in your line of work, how often have you come across this, you know, where there has been an expectation that there will be extramarital activity and it still ends in a divorce because it eventually goes sour?
Oh, yes, Nicholas, where I've come across it, or where it's come across my desk, is where people are involved in polyamorous relationships, is where they have involved with various people. It's open, there's no deceit, but then unfortunately one of the partners then falls pregnant, and then there is this whole custody thing. Then the person doesn't want the child to be brought up in a house where polyamorism is the decided norm, and then that's where it becomes sticky. In the custody battles that follow, you have a man, a male, who has three or four women living with him, and then one of them falls pregnant. That comes across my desk fairly often.
Are you for real? So, like, what, polygamous marriages or polygamous arrangements that go sour when eventually one of the several spouses falls pregnant?
Falls pregnant, or there's a degree of jealousy when some of the women feel that, oh, he's giving more attention to that one, and that one is spending more time with him, and we are now feeling excluded. And then you've got a bit of a bun fight going on, sort of a fight for territory in those situations. And then what often happens is somebody tends to fall pregnant for some strange reason, and then you've got a real fight on your hands. So those are the files that have come across my desk quite a lot. But if I can just jump in there, if you look at the Will Smith interview, people seem to think that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have an open relationship. They didn't, not at all. And if you look at the interview, Will Smith was phenomenally upset. And he said, what happened, they'd broken up, they were getting ready to get divorced, and she got involved with someone else. So there's this misconception out there that they have an open relationship. If you look at the interview, Will Smith was biting his tongue. He said to her after he found out, he thought he was never going to speak to her again. He was not okay with it. He isn't okay with it at all. So this whole misconception is a misconception that's created by the media that they have an open relationship. They don't. He was phenomenally upset about it. He was ready to write her off forever. And I think his words were, I thought I was never going to speak to you again. So they don't have an open relationship. She was got involved with somebody when they had broken up and were basically heading for divorce court.
Well, Shanda, I'm going to talk about the legal aspect to this, you know, what the law says in black and white about polyamorous relationships and extramarital affairs that are agreed upon. But Paula, let's talk about the stress that this puts on a relationship. Let's even take this example that Shanda used, where you've got multiple partners in a polyamorous relationship and things like jealousy sets in. And then it would seem obvious to my mind, if you're in a committed relationship with several people and someone falls pregnant, well, what did you think was going to happen? But let's talk about that stress there. How does it actually work for some people?
This is, you know, where it takes a real great sort of stretch when it comes to emotional maturity and being able to deal with emotions, because they are going to come out and they are going to be at play in the dynamics of the relationship. And this is where, right from the beginning, there need to be ground rules, so to speak, in terms of these are the boundaries of how we will interact and engage with each other. What are we going to do if emotions do start cropping in? How are we going to handle this situation? How are we going to reassure each other that, you know, everybody has everybody's best interests at heart? And how do we keep each other and protect each other and keep each other safe, not only from a physical and sexual health perspective, but also on an emotional level?
It's very, very difficult, but I suppose the simplest way to do it is to just try and approach it with absolute cold-faced honesty.
Absolutely, and that's really one of the big factors that plays a huge role in polyamorous relationships, is the openness and the transparency and being able to sit down collectively and talk about these issues and resolve them in a way that everybody feels comfortable and everybody feels on the same page. You know, polyamorous relationships is not for everybody. So before you even go into a relationship like this, you need to decide for yourself whether it is something that you feel you have the maturity and ability to handle, and sharing your partner with somebody else, because that's really what you're doing.
If you just joined us, we're talking about extramarital entanglements, ones that are agreed on, and the legal minefield that they create, not only the stress that they also conjure up within a relationship. Shanda Theron, divorce lawyer, matrimonial attorney on the line, alongside relationship expert Paula Quincy. Any questions? 011-883-0702. Otherwise, WhatsApp voice notes, 072-702-1702. So Shanda, what does the law say about this, right? Because a westernized version of marriage is husband, wife, but, you know, polyamory in
your
20...
Your call has been placed on hold.
Are we on hold?
Wait.
Paula, is that you or is it Shanda?
Not me.
Okay, right. We'll just shut down Paula for a second there. Shanda, you're still with us. So what does the law say, right? What does the law say?
So our law says the following. If you want the benefits of marriage, which means reciprocal maintenance, reciprocal responsibility towards each other, you have to get married. Our law does not recognize common law marriages. That's where, like in Europe or New Zealand or places like that, where you cohabit for a set amount of time, you start, you know, getting assets or building up an estate together and have children, then you accrue certain of the rights that would have been accrued to you that if you were married. In our law, it is quite clear, and we get that from the British system. You want the benefits of marriage, you get married. However, we have a Children's Act, and whether you are married or not and you have a child together, you have maintenance responsibility and other responsibilities towards that child. So your responsibility to maintain the child and keep contact with the child has really little to do with whether you're married or not. So in that polyamorous situation that I was talking to you about, the responsibilities towards the child and what the child can and cannot be exposed to, and the maintenance responsibilities towards the child has little or nothing to do with the fact that whether you're married or not. So we, in terms of customary law, recognize polygamous marriages, but there's a lot of I think personally that law is unconstitutional, because a man in a customary marriage is allowed to take multiple wives, or based on certain circumstances, but a woman is not allowed to take multiple husbands. Now that is clear discrimination based on gender. And if you take in our civil marriage law, in terms of the Divorce Act, if I am a person that's got married in terms of the Marriage Act, and while I'm still married, I marry somebody else, I'm guilty of the crime of bigamy, which is a criminal crime, by the way. So there is a lot of discrepancies between the qualities or the rights given to a person in a customary marriage, whether it's male or female, or the rights given to somebody who got married in terms of the Marriage Act. Because there, if I marry more than one person while I'm married to somebody else, I'm guilty of the crime of bigamy. But in terms of customary law, I can take a number of wives if my other wives consent. So there's a lot of discrepancies going on. Then, of course, we've got the Muslim Marriages Act that's also going to come in at some stage. And it's going to be interesting to see how we navigate that minefield.
Indeed, a massive minefield. And one would maybe argue that, you know, is the law sort of on par with our society? We not so long ago had the first citizen of the country being polygamous. Jacob Zuma had and still has several wives. What's your take on that, Shando? I mean, do you think that our law gives adequate expression to the realities of our society?
No, I don't think that at all. And I think the whole matrimonial law system is in dire need of a complete overhaul. New Zealand, if you look at New Zealand, we have got various acts. We've got the Children's Act, we've got the Maintenance Act, we've got the Divorce Act, or we've got the Surviving Spouses Act when it comes to estates. We've got the Muslim Marriages Act that's going to come in on a number of other acts. Now, New Zealand also has customary law, as in Maori law, but they've got an act called the Matrimonial Property Act, which all those acts they take together in, I think it's a little 78-page act. And what it comes down to is it deals with everything, but the court has discretion to override everything based on the vulnerable person in the equation being the child. And the court has the right to decide based on the child's best interest when a marriage breaks up or a relationship breaks up, who gets what and who maintains what. So I think our matrimonial law system, instead of having 17 different acts that don't speak to each other, we should have one act that crystallizes the rights in the Constitution and gives the court the discretion to override anything based on a child or the vulnerable party in the equation's best interest. So no, our laws are far behind and we are bombshelling into various different acts, and I don't think that's the right way to go.
Shando Tarom, matrimonial attorney alongside relationship expert Paula Quincy. Get your calls in now, 011-883-0702. We're talking about polyamory, polygamy, and extramarital entanglement. So, Paula, let's talk about nuts and bolts of this type of thing. I'm in a relationship. It's committed. I've maybe been married for a couple of years. And we both agree that we need a little bit of excitement. What besides just open honesty and authenticity would you suggest? I mean, where do the boundaries begin and end in a arrangement like that?
Look, so first of all, you know, you've got to understand from a self point of view, is this something that I'm okay and I'm comfortable with? You know, for some of us, it goes against our belief systems, it goes against our religion, our faith, etc. So, you know, there could be very real reasons why this is not for you. But if this is something that you want to explore, there are pros and cons. Some of the pros are, you know, you get a variety of support from different partners, because your partner cannot meet your every need 100% of the time, all of the time. So you could get a variety of support from different partners, and different partners could have different interests, and it provides opportunities to do things with one partner that another partner may not be interested in. It's just not their thing, but it is something that you want to do. You could also, from a physical sexual perspective, give you an opportunity to explore and experiment with yourself and your partner in terms of your sexual preferences and identity. It's definitely going to stretch you on having to learn to communicate on various levels and in various different ways. So being open and honest and transparency, and being very mature about your own identity and what you are comfortable with, managing those boundaries, conflict, personal choices, and the consequences thereof, which is where the cons come in. So the cons, we've spoken about some of those already, but, you know, forming an emotional connection with someone that can leave the space open to feelings of jealousy and insecurity. Being able to juggle time and schedules that you spend with each partner, particularly if you're not living in the same household, so you've got separate households. I've spoken about the sexual health risk and factors for all involved, and then managing expectations of yourself with the respective partners and vice versa. And being able to have that emotional maturity to deal with an open or multiple partner relationship.
So we've got a WhatsApp in here, and they are basically taking this idea of extramarital entanglement to the sword. Entanglement is a result of mixed messaging. Just another addition to the relationship doublespeak that has been fueled by the world we live in. Gobbledygook, if you ask me. We are consciously uncoupling. We have reached the end of our rainbow. We will remain partners in parenthood despite no longer being partners in marriage. We're exploring this new phases of our relationship. We are now and always united. We are taking respectful and loving spaces moves to form a space apart. That's from Anonymous there. I mean, Shanda, it all gets a little bit confusing.
It does indeed, but I think Paul and I have had many discussions about this, and we've done seminars together on this topic as well. She being the relationship expert, me dealing with the legal consequences, and that a relationship has spoken and unspoken rules. And where people land up, the file lands up on my desk, is when people don't keep track with those rules, the spoken and unspoken rules. Quite often, the unspoken rules can actually be more important, and those rules change. So every now and then, you have to sit down with someone like Paula, a neutral third party, and I do send people to her all the time, by the way, to do just that, if I'm not sure if the marriage is broken and irretrievably, that they can just touch base and see what the non-negotiables are and what the negotiables are. And whether your relationship is in trouble or not, it is a good little gut check and fitness test for the relationship. If you just say, what are the rules? And as your personal development, as you as a person changes, those rules change as well. And if you don't keep track with it, the other party is going to feel, or you are going to feel, that your needs are not being met, not physically, not emotionally, not psychologically. And that is when you start hitting a rough patch. I think Paula can come in there.
I'll bring Paula in a moment or so as we close the conversation. But I wanted to ask you, Shanda, I mean, say we've gotten involved in an extramarital entanglement in a marriage, right? When, legally speaking, can you push the red button and say, no, no more? If you've got this already, you know, long-standing agreement that we can do extramarital things, but it eventually comes to a point where you're like, angifuni, I don't want any more, what do you do from a legal perspective and where do you stand legally?
I think, I don't think people get married to get divorced, and divorce is terrible. It's not nice. On the list of, I think, five terrible things to happen to you, bankruptcy being number two, the death of a close person being number one, divorce is number three, and quite often one and two leads to number three. So divorce is terrible. It really, don't jump into it lightly. I have no problem with people coming to see me, but I often, when I don't think they are, we have to prove to the court that there's been an irretrievable breakdown of the marriage. That means you absolutely do not want to continue living with this person under the same roof. And even if you you end your marriage, you are going to be co-parents quite often with this person until they take their last breath and until you take their last breath. You're never going to be rid of it. Your relationship with husband and wife may end, but as if I am not convinced that your relationship is over, I send you to someone like Paula. As a matter of fact, I send you to Paula. And I say, go do a couple sessions with her and then come back to me. But you don't have to get involved in an affair to say your marriage is over. It just takes one person to say, for whatever reason, and affairs obviously is a reason, but there could be violence, there could be addiction, there could be emotional problems, there could be psychological abuse, there's a range of reasons. Or you can just say, man, this, I've tried it now and it doesn't work for me. But then we have to prove to the court that there's been an irretrievable breakdown of the marriage. And I usually advise people, not a decision you take lightly. Come see me, let's discuss your options, let's do the maths, let's do the hard yards and see where the shoe pinches. But if I don't think there's been an irretrievable breakdown in the marriage, I'm going to insist you go for counseling first.
Shanda Jerome, Paula Quincy, unfortunately, time working against us here. Paula, how can people get a hold of you if they need to do some relationship repair work?
Absolutely. They can get hold of me. I'm on all the social media platforms. So I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and my website, which is paulaquincy.com.
And Shanda, how can people get a hold of you?
www.divlaw.co.za. That's www.divlaw.co.za. Anytime, anywhere.
Shanda Turon, matrimonial attorney, alongside Paula Quincy, relationship expert, talking about extramarital entanglements.